I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Said nevermore. You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast. We are a proud member of the Fans First Sports Network. Well, it is draft week, everybody. The new season for the NFL, I think, it feels like it officially has kicked off. And we're looking on to the next season, and it all starts here this week with the draft. So joining me to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. And guess Bateman's doing good as well. He is now a Raven for the next 3 years. So breaking news as it happened this afternoon, the eve of the draft. Rashad Bateman, to surprise of many, gets an extension. So as I put out there on the socials, not a soul predicted this. I think all the predictors were leaning Bateman could get traded, whether it was before, during, or after the draft kind of deal. The Ravens were really linked to a couple of receivers in mock drafts. We didn't really know where the Ravens might lead offensively, but to the surprise of many and the excitement, Bateman is a Raven. It's something to celebrate. Look, certainly not downplaying that. It's certainly something to be really excited about, especially with the wide receiver position. I feel this never really happens. I can't remember or recall a situation where the Ravens actually extended a wide receiver that they drafted. Pretty much is the like Hollywood Brown, whether it's a high first round draft pick or mid to low second round or wherever they find these receivers. You know, you don't really see the extension piece. You know, you've seen it with the tight ends. You've seen it with the running backs. You've certainly seen it with the quarterbacks, but and even the head coach, but and defensively all over the place. But Rashad Bateman, wide receiver, gets an extension. How about that?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I thought, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on X this week about Rashad Bateman, that he cleared everything off of his socials about the Ravens. He had some dinner with some former Ravens recently, and people were saying he was trying to link up with a new team. Allegedly, they moved his locker. Marlon Humphrey put out a picture and said that he was going to miss some guys. Rashad Bateman was listed in that, but here he is. He gets an extension. Officially with the Baltimore Ravens. Like you said, he's a first round draft pick. He had some a rough start. You know, he hasn't had a fully healthy season yet. But obviously Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh and a couple of the other Ravens front office guys still see a future with this guy. He had some good plays, and obviously he has to get on the same page as Lamar Jackson moving forward. But with this extension, it takes him through 2026. He's going to get that chance.
He is going to get that chance. And from what I'm reading, the reactions to the extension is, it's actually pretty welcomed. A lot of folks are like they're not like scoffing at it. Like you'll read, of course, you get your negative press when it comes to any news regarding, you know, player movement or player extensions or contracts. But obviously this does not make it as splash as it did last year. Remember last draft day, even draft evening, hour before the draft, and even minutes up to the draft, we got blessed with that crazy news with the Lamar Jackson extension. So eve of the draft, not a Lamar status, but Ravens still make a splash in their own way and make some headlines. So to the surprise of many, I think it's welcomed across the board. Everybody was like, look, it's not a Bateman problem. Quarterback's got to give him the ball, and that's another story. And a lot of folks are riding the whole Lamar better, play better, get him the ball situation. So, hey, extending receiver, drafting receivers or whatever, having receivers is great, but if you can't get him the ball, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, we left a bad taste in mouth where the Ravens didn't really run the ball, and now it's like an identity crisis. Obviously, you have to move the ball by two ways, run or pass. You have to utilize both. Ravens really going to rely run heavy, right? With the addition of Derrick Henry, you have to know that, you have to expect that, and what that brings. And where are they going to go in the passing court? I don't know, but this is welcomed. A lot of folks are like, look, Bateman gets hooping. He's a workhorse. We're excited that he's here. There's been great reactions across the board. And we're excited. So, and I've always been a fan of his play, like right from the get go. Remember his first like game, two games, game and a half to two games, like his first handful of catches, they were like long passes and chain movers. Like every catch was a first down. He solidified himself and inserted himself into that role of like, all right, man, like he's going to be the go-to guy. And I certainly am not mad about this extension. I think it helps the Ravens, and it also shows that they have the commitment to, you know, the guys that they drafted, and they're going to give them a chance. And they've always said time and time again, you hear it, we like our guys. You hear that phrase, we like our guys. They believe in Bateman. They believe in Zay. They believe in Likely. They believe in, but when you talk receivers, you know, and tight ends alike catching the ball, and they believe in Mark Andrews, giving him an extension, and he's a huge part of that. So I'm excited to see where this leads. It also leads into what the Ravens draft strategy might do, because they were linked to some receivers, and especially in the late first round at pick number 30. So it's like, do they still go receiver? What is their strategy? But the news breaking, I feel like, is certainly something to monitor heading into draft. Now, that doesn't mean that because he's extended, he could be a Raven. Like, he could not be a Raven. There could be a possibility, right, where it could be a deal behind the scenes where the team that could acquire him didn't want the contract, so the Ravens ate that. They took the extension piece, and then they're like, they can do a sign and trade. So that could be something else in the works. And to the ploy, like you mentioned about the social media fanfare of like, oh, he unfollowed these accounts, or he went out to dinner with so-and-so, or Marlon posted, you know, that his locker's moved. I don't know if that's just playing to the fans and the whole entertainment piece of the NFL when it comes to that. I don't know, because you see it all the time. Like, happened to Kyler Murray. Remember, Kyler Murray was like, oh, he wiped his social media clean of Arizona Cardinals, and all of a sudden he got an extension from them. So like, you just don't know. And I don't read too much into that. I just think it's nonsense, because you just don't know. But it's fun to watch, and who knows, it could be the entertainment piece. But yeah, Bateman's here, at least for the time being.
Yeah, congrats to him. Let's see what he brings to the table, and let's hope that him and Lamar can get on the same page. If you remember, you know, after that AFC title game, that was one of my biggest gripes, was that it felt like Rashad Bateman and Lamar Jackson were not on the same page. So hopefully they're working on that in the offseason, and that's something that they can work on. I know we've already seen Lamar Jackson at the castle this offseason, so that's a welcome sign as well. So hopefully we'll see what happens come training camp, but congrats to Rashad Bateman. He's going to be a Raven at least through 2026. Now let's look forward to the NFL draft. It is officially draft week. The draft will take place on April 25th on Thursday. And the Ravens, that first night, they are picking at number 30. They have 9 picks in all for the NFL draft. Josh, with this Rashad Bateman news, there was a lot of talk of what are the Ravens going to do in that first round? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that? I think there are a lot of holes that the Ravens do need to fit. They do have to fix them, and obviously they want to do that with the draft. But with this re-signing of Rashad Bateman, I'm thinking right now, one of the things that they wanted to get was a wide receiver. They might be waiting until rounds two or three for that. Maybe they're looking at the offensive line with Rashad Bateman now locked up till 2026. What are your thoughts? What do you think the Ravens do with their first round pick at 30 on draft night?
Yeah, no, I look at the needs and you immediately want to go to the line, especially with the subtractions from this team, right? And with that news of the extension of Bateman and solidifying the receiver room. So if you look at the subtractions from the Ravens, right? Morgan Moses is a big name out there. John Simpson, you know, they're missing a huge part. And how about, and also Kevin Zeitler. So there's three big names on the line right there. And their needs cross the board to get into that. They need the interior offensive line, right? They need a tackle. They need an edge rusher, wide receivers, and safeties. That's the really the glaring positions of need for the Baltimore Ravens this year. And if you look at the subtractions, it's all over the map, right? We lost, and running back's not too much of a need, right? They got Derrick Henry and all that, but we know they lost Gus and JK. We know Geno Stone's gone. We know corner Ronald Daubry's gone. We know edge rusher Tyus Bowser got released. We know Patrick Queen's gone. We know Javon Clowney's gone. He's also an edge rusher. And so there's a huge need there. Amaris and Devin Duvernay went to greener pastures as well. So looking at that list, the subtractions from the Ravens really meet that needs list, right? There's big holes to fill, big shoes. Now, they did add some pieces, right? They added a special team specialist, Chris Board from the Patriots. They've added Josh Jones. They added Derrick Henry. So there are some pieces there, but the draft is another avenue. And like to your point, they have nine picks to shoot. Nine. That's fantastic. And two of them are comp picks. Are actually one's a comp pick from the Morgan Moses trade. It's actually in round six. And they have a couple of other acquired picks. It's noted a round four pick acquired from the Broncos and then a seventh rounder acquired from the Jets regarding the Chuck Clark trade back when, and then the Jake Martin trade for the fourth rounder. So they've acquired a few picks, nine in total, a first rounder, a second rounder, a third. Now they have two fourth rounds, a fifth round, a six and two sevens backing that up. So nine's pretty good. They can maneuver the board with that. Usually, typically about six to seven is really solid for a team, especially when you have seven rounds. And if you traded, you know, or lost a draft pick here and there, six to seven, like if you have seven, it's one per round. It's pretty good, right? You're picking a player per round. The Ravens have nine. They can certainly hold on to all nine. They can move around the board. Pick 30 could be up for grabs to move up. They can move out. And that's another thing. They have nine picks and the 30th pick. Like I said, if you have pick 30, and then you move back to 34, 33 kind of deal, like early to mid late 30s. Like, what's the big deal if you move back out of the first round and then day two, starting round two, and you pick early in the second? It's almost like a late first round pick, essentially, right? If you're picking 33, 34, what's the big deal? Even though it is officially round two on the books, you get what it is. It's virtually kind of extension of round one kind of deal. It's going to be very interesting because here's the thing. There's some mock drafts out there that had him linked to the Texas wide receiver, Adonai Mitchell. So do they go wide receiver in that first round? It's hard to say, right? It's a crapshoot. Lottery. It's the NFL draft. Anything can happen with trades and, you know, players. It's really a who's who. And sometimes you think you know and you don't know. Sometimes the highest drafted players never pan out well. And you've seen that, right? A lot of times you see it. You can even point back to, if you want to start talking 2018 and what happened, right? Baker Mayfield drafted first overall, and we know Lamar was drafted the last pick in that first round. We can definitely tell you, hands down, who the better quarterback is out of that. And that's a span of 30-some picks in between them. So it doesn't matter. First pick in the draft, 32nd, you know, Tom Brady was picking the sixth round. Talent's abundant anywhere, man. So look, it's good to talk names, good to talk strategy, but we get it. At the end of the day, no one knows. It's truly a lottery system. Players can be drafted and be superb. Players can be drafted into the system that belongs with them and fits their needs and suits their needs and skill sets, and they thrive. Some players get to a team, and by happenstance, it's a bad situation. You don't get utilized correctly. There's a lot of variables that go into it. But some names out there – that, and I want to focus in on that. One thing that there's a common thread here when we talk interior line and tackle, there's a name. And it kind of has the same connotation because there's the same name share. We lost Morgan Moses to the trade with the Jets, but there's another Morgan that the Ravens linked to, especially the tackle position, Jordan Morgan out of Arizona. A lot of mock drafts, Brandon, that I've come across over the last few weeks and few days leading up to this draft, those mocks have the Ravens selecting Morgan Moses in that 30th pick. So that's
not Morgan Moses.
Huh? What's that? I'm sorry.
Not Morgan Moses.
No, we not Morgan go. Moses. Jordan Moses.
Jordan, so yes.
Recall, you can get really confused if you think Morgan and you hear Morgan Moses. Now it's still a tackle there. But I'm excited for if they go that route as well. Who knows? But that's a big name that I'm going to look out for draft night. But interesting enough, and the thing about Jordan Morgan, I looked at some of his bio a little bit coming out of college. He did tear his ACL at the end of 22, and he came back and had a bounce back 2023 season because it was late 22, he got hurt. So that could be the chatter on the web, right? It's, he has an injury history. Well, you know, most players probably do, right? But, you know, he had a bounce back year according to the paper. So he had a strong campaign. So look forward to seeing what he can do if he's drafted with the Ravens or not, but that's something of note. Not too concerned about that, but that's another name I'm certainly looking out for the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Ravens are going to have to be really smart here. This draft class seems to be pretty heavy with offensive linemen and wide receivers. We know teams like the Buffalo Bills are going to be looking for their new number one wide receiver. So I think that the Ravens, really depending on who's still available, will kind of decide it. I don't know if they have a specific guy in mind, but I feel like if everybody's going to be taking the offensive lineman, then they're going to take a wide receiver. If everybody's taking wide receivers, they're going to focus on the offensive lineman. So I think those are the two biggest spots for the Baltimore Ravens right now. And the lounge brought this up. If the entire league is zigging, the Ravens are going to zag. So
usually if you guys, do.
Yeah, if you guys listen to the podcast, you saw that the Fans First Sports Network did have a mock draft earlier this week. You had that in your feed, in your call feed earlier this week. And each one of the shows got to pick somebody. And the call decided to pick Xavier Worthy, wide receiver from Texas. Now, Josh, I mean, you and I were going back and forth of who to pick. And has the news of Rashad Bateman getting picked up, has that changed your mind at all as being a wide receiver being taken in the first round? I mean, if this guy from Texas is really good, would they still take them now that Rashad Bateman is locked up? Or do you think now that Rashad's locked up, they're like, all right, wide receiver, not our biggest concern anymore. We're going to look elsewhere. What do you think?
No, I still think they can look at receiver, but you also have to look at the makeup of the team right now. If the Ravens were to line up and play football this weekend, your number one, is your number one Zay and then your number two Bateman? Who's third? Look at the roster. Like, they lost Duvernay. Odell Beckham's on the team. Like, if you think about who they deployed last year in wide receiver core, it was Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Odell Beckham Jr. That was your three, right?
Right.
And Duvernay sometimes at four sets, and if they went five wide, you know, that you would see some others deployed there. So that's where I think the Ravens still could make a pick at wide receiver at 30 or even maybe in the second round because of solidifying that wide receiver three position. You're going to need three good ones to go in the battle with offensively. And I think that could be an option. And I saw Xavier Howard there, another Texas receiver. I know we mentioned Adonai Mitchell, his fellow teammate in Texas. Texas has some receivers this year coming out of the Big 12. So I'm looking to see where the Ravens might do. And look, they might go that route. Who knows? But my thing is I want linemen. If you ask me right now, I need the protection. You got to protect Derrick Henry, right, running the ball. Got to pass protect Lamar. If there's no offensive line, running and passing don't work. And we have, like we mentioned at the onset of the show, look at the names that left the team. You know, we need a fill there. Getting Rashad Bateman under extension, you know, the whole conspiracy and the theory of signing and trading and all that aside, say if he stays here for 3 years, you have him and Zay, you're fine there. You can get that offensive lineman high, get a high good one, and then come back in the second round. Looking at the draft picks as they stand now, they don't make a move. If the Ravens picked a lineman at 30, they pick in round two at pick 62. They have 30, 60, and then 90. They have 30, 62nd, and then a 93rd overall pick. So it's almost like average, almost every 30 picks, they're getting that player. So if they can get that lineman, if they can get a 62nd pick there and stay there, they can get a receiver. I think it could happen. Who knows? At 60, that 61 players going before them. That's a lot. A lot of good receivers might fly out the board. Again, the Ravens can make a move. They could pick at 30, and then they can kind of maybe maneuver and trade a few of those late round picks to move up in the second, or they could always maneuver and they might trade up into the earlier in the first, who knows, and still stay at say, we don't know. That's what the excitement about the NFL draft is. Even to fans that always say, like, they have to tune in, oh, when the Ravens are successful, right? They have a later pick. That's how it goes. And Ravens are one of, I think, three teams that have never had the first overall pick. And Brandon, I like it that way. Thank goodness we never had a first overall pick. That means we were the worst team in the league that year. It's something to be proud of, I think, as an organization. It's unique, but it's proud. But the thing of it is, when I tell those fans, like, yeah, I get it, right? Like, if you just wait to tune into 11 p.m. Eastern to see the Ravens pick late, you might miss something. And then you get a notification on your phone and go, oh, Ravens traded up and got so-and-so, or they trade. You never know. I mean, the last couple of years, if I can remember, there was a lot of trades like early on. Like remember the Texans last year? They picked first, and then all of a sudden, I think they traded to get the third pick. Like, it was like, oh, right. Texans talk again. You're like, whoa, wait, what? Like, they just picked. Like, you just never know, and you really have to tune in, especially that night one, to see all that craziness. Now, nights two and three, or night two and day three, you know, obviously, or hey, if you're one to watch all seven rounds of the NFL draft, dude, you're hardcore. That's awesome. I just give you a round of applause on that. Me, I'm tuning in on night one and keeping tabs at one of my draft tracker on my phone for the rest of the rounds and seeing what might be. But I have a busy weekend, and we'll get to that at the end because I have something special to share with you. I can't wait, man. This is the fun and excitement and the uncertainty of the NFL draft. There's surprises. There's some kind of, I guess, sometimes not surprises. And we'll see. For all the teams involved, it's going to be fun.
Now, I was listening to the mock draft from the lounge earlier today. They were talking about the seventh round draft pick. There's two at 228 and 250. Mm-hmm. And it was brought up that there's potential of the Ravens taking a late pick of a quarterback, which I was a little surprised to hear. Now, we know that Snoop Huntley is no longer a part of the team, and they have Josh Johnson, who is backing Lamar up currently, and who's the other guy, Malik Cunningham, I believe. Yes. Is the guy they got from the Patriots practice squad. There's potential, you know, that these guys are looking for a third QB once again. If Josh Johnson were to leave, go somewhere else, if Malik doesn't work out, what are your thoughts? Do you see the Ravens potentially taking a late round quarterback or as a potential backup for Lamar down the road?
Yeah, I think so. I think at that point, you almost have to look and take a late round flyer on a backup quarterback. Again, for insurance, this isn't anything to do with somebody's job being on the line. Look, Huntley left. He was a formidable backup with Lamar, knows the system. I think it would be worthwhile for the Ravens to explore that. I think it would be smart. Look, you invested all that money in the big contract in Lamar. You know, with the system that you built, you can't take a traditional pocket passer and put him in backup in Lamar. It's got to be that system type quarterback. So it'd be interesting late in the round if and who's available and what type of those quarterbacks are available, even if they were to go that route, and see what happens. I certainly think you have to get that insurance policy and back up Lamar. And if it isn't through the draft, I don't know who would be out there as far as availability as a current backup on some teams that fit that kind of mold and the skill set with Lamar. It's going to be interesting. I know a lot of folks feel like they pigeonhole themselves with that because it's a kind of an all-in. You kind of have to burn everything down, right? Like, you get all-in, invest in Lamar. That's the offense you're running. So you have to get a certain quarterback to do those things. It's going to be very interesting, unique what comes, because it's like, hiss, man. Like, I'm only saying this for the sake of example. But just think about it. Like, if Lamar got hurt and Flacco was still backing him up and then Flacco comes in, like, think about that. That's totally two different ways of running the offense. Like, it can't work that way. It's got to be one way or the other. And that's where, you know, most might miss that point. And you have to think about it. Like, it's a system thing at this point, right? There's a reason why they had RG3 backing them up for 2 years. There's a reason why Huntley stayed here as long as he did and they had him here. There's a reason. They didn't just go get anybody. There's a reason why other backups left and they released them, because it wasn't that system type quarterback that they were seeking to back Lamar up. So keep that in mind if that's the case, if they go end up going quarterback late in the draft.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The other position, now there's obviously, we talked about an offensive lineman, wide receiver. They're the two biggest points that we're hoping get some early draft picks to cover those positions. I think safety is another one. Cornerback, you can always use a cornerback as a spare, somebody, a backup, something for the future, because Brandon Stevens' contract is coming up after this year. If you want to get maybe a late round guy as a cornerback as well. But I got to think running back is also somewhere where you want to get a guy, maybe in a later round, maybe a round five or round six, because yes, you have Derrick Henry and you have Justice Hill, but Keaton Mitchell, he got hurt in December. We don't know the timetable of when he will be coming back. I would assume he's not ready for the beginning of the regular season, maybe November, maybe late October, but I have to say maybe rounds five, round six, you're looking for that running back that can kind of make that three-headed monster complete.
Oh yeah, man, for sure. I think that would certainly bode in the Ravens' favor, because remember, I think Keith Mitchell's going to come back early, you know, not early, but later in the year because of the injury. Can never had too many running backs, especially with taking the pressure and heat off Lamar. Remember last year they were heading in with that. You know, if J.K. didn't get hurt, they had Gus, J.K., and then Keith Mitchell coming in the scene, on the scene. And they already had Justice Hill, and they still have Justice Hill. So, you know, right now it's that kind of until Keith Mitchell comes back, it's a Derrick Henry, Justice Hill show. So that could be an option at some point in late, maybe mid to late rounds, is, hey, do you take a flyer on a running back and solidify and maybe have that fourth and kind of do that practice squad shuffle kind of deal? Who knows? But that'd be something exciting to see who's out there and what the Ravens might do. It'd be interesting. I didn't really see too many running backs on the mocks. But I mean, I've seen someone there, just not too many. One of the latest mocks I saw from Pro Football Focus didn't even have a running back taken for the Ravens in the draft. So it was pretty interesting. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. That's a position that maybe most might not really think about, because the addition of Derrick Henry is so big and splashy, right? And we'll see. I don't know.
Now, I'm thinking about this draft as well, and Joe Hortiz, he is a guy that was with the Ravens for 26 years. He was the director of player personnel. He left and joined the Chargers as their general manager. So does this draft, does this mean something more for the Ravens, because you have a guy that has been in charge of player personnel for 26 years? That is quite a tenure to have with one team, with one company, especially nowadays. For him to leave and someone else to kind of pick up that mantle. Yes, we still have EDC and a lot of the same staff, but think about it. You got a new defensive coordinator. You have a second year offensive coordinator. You now have someone new coming in, a director of player personnel. It's not just the players that left town. It's the front office and the coaches as well. It's almost a new regime under John Harbaugh and under Eric DaCosta. So do you think potentially that there could be like some surprises that the Ravens do and something that people aren't going to be are going to be shocked about? Because this is kind of a new team at the helm. This could be something different that the Ravens aren't known to do in this draft class, because I feel like they're going to want to make a statement in the draft here.
Yeah, especially since they're coming off that huge championship game loss. and they want to kind of keep everything intact to get back to that point, hold the standard. I certainly, it speaks, you know, whenever you have that big void, it's going to hurt the team, you know, and I'm interested to see what that impact is, whether it does hurt or help the team. We'll see. You got to be a firm believer in who they have in place now. But it is a huge void to fill. It is surprising considering that Eric DaCosta himself has been with the organization since the very beginning in 96, and he waited in the wings to get the GM position. So, you know, we wish him the best too. As far as Joe Ortiz, you know, you always like to see that longevity with one team, one organization, and wish them the best. But yeah, I certainly think, you know, it's going to affect the draft, but listen, right? Eric DaCosta is the end all be all. He's the GM. He's got to make the final say. And everybody, we don't know what goes on in the Ravens war room. You know, we really don't. But I feel like they would work together, you know, as a cohesive unit and kind of have make those discussions and suggestions and decisions together. And then Eric DaCosta having the final say, maybe even Bisciotti, right? He's the owner and the architect of it all, even though Eric DaCosta does what he does. It's a collective, you know, effort. You know, John Harbaugh's got to be on board, I guess. So I think I would imagine they all have a consultation about things, but ultimately there's probably one or maybe two main decision makers. If any, Bisciotti's Eric DaCosta, but you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's a huge void, man. I was actually pretty sad to see him go.
Well, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call? Do you think we've prepared everybody for this NFL draft?
I think so. As prepared as we can be, even though as we call it, the draft is a lot of unknowns, right? I think throwing some names out there, by the way, I did misspeak. Pro Football Focus did have the Ravens drafting a running back. It was Kendall Milton out of Georgia, one of the last picks there at in the seventh round. So I kind of overlooked that. So my apologies. I wanted to make a stat correction. I caught it right when I said it, and I was researching it while you were discussing some points there. So I found that. So yeah, they did. So that draft did have them drafting a running back at the last pick. So that could be something of note there. Yeah, I think as we're prepared as we can be, the excitement is building. It's draft week. I'm excited. Now, as far as did we cover everything? We did not. So I kind of want to bring a couple of things to the forefront and talk about a few things before we get out of here. I know it's been a little bit since me and you chatted. Wanted to throw out some tidbits under Eric DaCosta's regime under the direction of his draft, right? And just throw some things out there that are pretty interesting, right? He's actually drafted 5 Pro Bowlers since 19. Okay. The Ravens are, if you really want to go record wise under his GM as a total, Ravens are 56-27 under his direction as GM. He's used a top 3 pick on every offensive and defensive position except quarterback and tight end since draft. So that's pretty cool. So that's a pretty interesting of note. And there's been a total of 43 players drafted. So looking forward to seeing what happens. And there's only been one selection that's been in the top 15. That was in 2022. That was Kyle Hamilton at 14th overall. So it's the highest that the Ravens have drafted since 2019. So it's pretty awesome. I remember at 19, because folks might be like, wait a minute, they drafted Lamar. Nah, 19. Remember, Lamar was Ozzie's swan song. Remember, Ozzie was at the helm that last year. Was kind of like a hybrid. It was like Ozzie was the guy, but it was like, I guess, like Eric DaCosta was like right there. And then Ozzie said, wait a minute, I'm going to do one more magic trick. Boom. Wizard of Oz went back and got Lamar for us, and then Mark Andrews. And I think that was the year because Hayden Hurst and all that. So that was, because I said, except quarterback and tight end, that was the year the Ravens drafted Hayden Hurst at 25 and then Lamar at 32nd. So, but since 19, obviously, those two positions are exempt because we've had Lamar and Mark Andrews since that whole time. So there's no need to draft the quarterback or tight end in the first 3 rounds. Don't need it. Non-call, non-Baltimore Ravens related. Want to talk sports real quick. So as you know, or probably knew, want to chat about the experience I had with the weekend that was. If you didn't know, I actually was at where I volunteered to become a walking scorer for the golf championships for the women's Big Ten. That was hosted here in Haverty Grace, Maryland at Bully Rock Golf Course. They actually have the championships hosted here in 2024 and next year in 2025. For those who don't know or remember, Bullyrock Golf Course was host to the LPGA Championship from 2005 to 2009 in that span. So it's good to see college golf up close and personal. The ladies can tee it up and they can play. And it was great to be a part of that process. So if you don't know who a walking scorer is in golf, I got to walk with the group and pretty much watch every single shot. And I log the scores, and the scores get updated live on the live leaderboard that's around the course. So that's how scores, if you don't know the game of golf, because you wonder, like, how do they keep score and how they – that's what happens in most cases, whether you do it manually. I did it both, like electronically, manually, and the scores are updated live. So I had to literally walk with the three golfer group that I was a part of and be a part of them, walk alongside them pretty much, and watch every single shot and log their strokes. So I did it for three straight days. I did it Friday morning, Saturday morning, and then Sunday morning this past weekend. Walked the course, brother, over 19,000 yards I probably walked this weekend.
Wow.
I mean, the course played with them 6,300, a little over 6,300 yards, and I walked, you know, every bit of that and then some. So, and those girls, man, they can play. I got the long walk. The last 2 days I had a girl from University of Maryland in my group. You know, I had in my group, if I shared, I had Purdue, Illinois, Minnesota, Northwestern represented. I had Ohio State and Wisconsin. So it was a pretty high honor to be a part of that. I met the coaches as well, to be interacting with like something prestigious as the Big Ten, man. Like, this is big, and all the schools represented in the conference. It was fantastic. I don't know if anybody was out there partaking of it or knew about the event, but it was pretty cool. I got to talk with some of the families of the players and the student athletes, man, what they do. It just was great to be a part of that, to have it here in our backyard, or my backyard per se. It's right up the road, 95 from you as well. And it's my home course. I'm a member there. I love the course, and to be a part of something like that, to see, you know, college golf and the future of golf right there. It could be some ladies that you might see on tour later on. And who knows, I got to talk with them a little bit and chit chat about anything from golf. They were asking stuff about me and where I'm from. And then we were talking about what they were studying. So, you know, it was pretty cool how, some of the downtime, you know, some of them, you know, let them come to me, you know, and they're in tournament mode, but you know, when they talked to me, it was pretty cool interactions, but the most part it was great to just stand by and just watch them do their thing, you know, playing golf at one of the highest levels you can. And wanted to shout out to Isabel McCauley of University of Minnesota. She actually posted the tournament record, 64, 8 under. I got to see her final hole coming in after I volunteered on Sunday. It was pretty incredible to see the support. Just wanted to give a shout out for that. It was a pretty cool experience to volunteer for that kind of event. And I'll be there next year for sure.
Very cool. Are any of them, and maybe the University of Maryland player, are they Ravens fans? Because maybe we can have them on the call.
I would presume they might be. I'm not sure. We didn't go that far. Again, you know, being that they're in tournament mode, you know, the chatter was to a minimum. But right. You know, the talk, I mean, I let them converse with me and let them open that up, right? But the talks that we did have, it was really more of like what they're doing collegiate wise and, you know, kind of just, you know, shooting the breeze kind of deal and talking about the course. And, you know, they really get into like, you know, hey, are you a Ravens fan? Or because like you have to remember, a lot of them, because they go to the university here, doesn't mean they're from here. I think the girl that was from Illinois that was in my group on Friday morning, she's from Los Angeles. So she goes to the University of Illinois in Champaign. And she was like, it's definitely culture shock. Like, I go from LA to like the Midwest, where it's just like rural and like nothing. Like, just to hear those kind of conversations and even the conversations of competitive play among player and coach about golf and like strategy and just being right there in the thick of the action. It was something that I'll never forget. Something that I'm certainly proud of being a part of. And I can't wait to do it next year. It was great to have that offer extended to me to volunteer my time. It was great. It was well worth it.
Awesome, man. Well, I hope you enjoy it. You know what I actually saw? This popped up on my Facebook memories earlier this week. Do you remember in 2020 when the draft happened that you were a part of it?
And yeah.
That you were on screen? Like, do you remember that?
Yeah, I was on TV and I was so, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so you, I think you had some Ravens claws and you had like the Batman scowl on or something. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Some crazy times we lived through, man. 2020 was wild.
Like this guy, yeah. Yeah. 2020, it's like the lost year. It was wild, but it was a lost year. That would, I would love to be a part of something like that again. I don't know if it'll ever happen, but it's great if it happens. Yeah. I'm going to try to put my name in there. You too, man. I need you to be part of that too.
Absolutely. I know there's been a couple draft parties going on around Baltimore, but
yeah, I'm too busy. I can't go this week. I'm really busy. So, but I would love to go to like the Jimmy's Craft Feast and everything they're doing, but it's my schedule, man. I just can't swing it. I have a lot of important things, and more so because I'm going to be gone all weekend, not only coming off the hinges of volunteering for the Women's Big Ten Championship. Right. But, shout out to one of my best friends, Mike Dove, man. You know, he does the marketing and graphic design for a lot of businesses out there, but most importantly, you know, this weekend, right. He does it for Ricky Stenhouse and the race team there, under JTG Doherty Racing. He actually designed this year, he designed the backdrop for Victory Lane. They're actually in Dover for NASCAR this weekend. He designed that, and he does all the designs for the race team as well. But I'll be a guest of the race team all weekend. I'll be playing around in golf with Ricky and his race team on Friday, along with Mike. Saturday, I'll be there at practice and qualifying. And Sunday, yours truly will be sitting by the invite of the team, be sitting on top of the pit box during the race on Sunday. So
that's very cool.
Very, very cool, man. I'm certainly excited. It's been, like I said, it's going to be a crazy week, right? Go from my volunteer efforts there at the golf to draft coverage and draft week, and then, you know, bleeding into this weekend's race festivities. It's going to be, it's one weekend for the Aero, a good week or so for the ages for myself, man. It's busy, jam-packed. I have work all involved there. I got personal errands, and really awesome. Now, I just wanted to share with you. And then on the back end of that, well, debrief on the draft on the call, and then I'll tell you about my experience at the track this weekend and the interaction with the team. It'd be great.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on around Baltimore. I know Jimmy's Seafood has a crab feast and their party. Like, they're doing two different ones. I know the vault is doing something.
To be a part of it, man. Are you going?
Yeah. No, I'm not going. Tickets sold out too quickly for me. But the Ravens are doing a tiny PSL owner party because there's so much construction going on at M&T Bank Stadium. I don't know if you've been to an O's game recently, but I walked past there, I guess, a week or so ago to an O's game and to see Jackson Holliday's debut. And, you know, the entire concourse is ripped up right now. Like, it's going to be a brand new stadium come August for everybody to come see what's going on. But the M&T Bank sign is down from the stadium at the moment as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of work happening. There's a lot of stuff happening down at M&T Bank on Russell Street. So I'm excited to see as it happens. And every O's game I look, I'm going to be there. I'm going to look for it and see what has been added or subtracted from the stadium. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
We certainly have, my friend. Quoth the Raven, never more.
All right, everybody. Well, if you would like to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is join our Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join our server over there. Let's talk on draft night about who the Ravens are going to pick. Let's see what happens at number 30. Will they stay at number 30? Will they draft back? Will they draft up? Who knows? We're going to find out as you guys do on Thursday night with the NFL draft. It's always an exciting time to welcome some new Ravens players to the flock. Don't forget, you can follow us on X as well. You can follow me at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people follow you on X?
Always at AJ_Murr.
Make sure you check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we do have a YouTube channel. It's youtube.com. Look up Brando Cash Pods, and you'll find all of our shorts there. I know with both of my shows, I have really been lacking with that. But man, let me tell you, putting out podcasts and doing the whole work thing and doing the shorts, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of stuff. So some stuff does get missed, unfortunately, but I do want to get back on the wagon and make some of those YouTube shorts. I really enjoy doing that. So I promise, guys, I will be working on that in the future. Now, be social with the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review. Rate us over on Spotify. Let people know on all of your favorite social media platforms. Maybe do it on TikTok before they shut TikTok down in a month or so or whatever's happening, because apparently that's happening here in the U.S. But
I had no idea. I'm a
I'm not a TikToker, so I don't know. I'm almost 40. So make sure you check us out. Wow. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. We will be back next week to review all of these picks, all of these new players for the Baltimore Ravens. So stick with us. Stay subscribed. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Absolutely, my friend. But before we do that and sign off, as we always do, I want to bring up something real quick because I was looking at some things while you're doing the sign off, right? There's a statement from Eric DaCosta about the Bateman situation, right?
Uh-huh.
And this is what the statement from the Ravens were. We are pleased to announce that we have extended Rashad Bateman's contract to the 26th season. Congrats to Bate and his family. This is a good day for the Ravens. Statement from GM Eric DaCosta. The reason why that came up, and I wanted to bring that up, and the reason why I'm circling back to all this is because I was looking at the terms of the deal and why they're not released yet. Because typically, when a deal's done, you already know what the terms in the year are. The media is on that. Like, it's already been released. I'm not, like, saying this as being trying to be a conspiracy, right? And be like, oh, they might sign and trade them. But I'm like, I'm just trying to be bringing it up and just being curious, like, why are the terms not released yet? Even though I know that statement from Eric DaCosta kind of solidifies everything, right? Like, it's a good day for him and the Ravens. Like, it's going to be a Raven for the next 3 years. But, like, to me, a lot of the media members are already putting it out there saying, like, the terms of the deal are being unknown. But when he signs it, he'll be a Raven, blah, 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 for the next 3 years. And I'm just like, to me, I'm just calling attention to the details. Like, remember, like, I know Lamar is a more polarizing player, and that was more of a big story news, but it was like immediately, like, they were like, oh, Lamar Jackson signs a contract extension. And like, literally, like, the next question, everybody's like, well, I want to see the money. And all of a sudden, like, it came out like, oh, it's this much and this much guaranteed. So it's just like, I'm interested to go back, and I'm not probably going to do it on the show here, but I might do it post draft, but I might go back and see when the Ravens have extended players. Did the money come out right away or did it not? Because I'm just curious on why he didn't hear. That's all. Just trying to figure out. We know he's extended through 26, but where's the money? I don't right. know. Just something to call attention to, a little attention to details, put that out there. Yep. But yeah, I'm excited. So Bateman's at least, right? According to Eric DaCosta and the Ravens, he's a Raven for the next 3 years, solidifying the wide receiver core. Can't wait to see. I can't wait to see the draft, what the Ravens might do, what the Ravens don't do, what the other teams might do. There's always shakeups. You know, what might go on at one, what might go on in mid the first round. The first round's always fun to watch. I can't wait to be here every step of the way, and everybody's reaction. We're going to be there with you along the way, and we're going to be talking about it. You know, can't wait to hear from you. With the aftermath of the draft, did you like it? Are you good? Put it there, out there. Hit us up on the X. Hit us up on The Call Facebook. We love to hear you. Put out your drafts. You know, even after night one, are you satisfied no matter what they do? Or are you dissatisfied? We'd love to hear from you either way and interact. So appreciate every single one of you. Be along the way as we embark on yet another great season here in 2024 with The Call and the Fans First Sports Network. Brandon, man, can't wait to get it rolling with you, man. We're heading into the off season, and we have some things in store. And with that being said, enjoy draft week. And how about it? Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.